Turn to James chapter 1. We've been going through this over some time. and so we're, Lord willing, going to get to the end of chapter 1 today. Amen. And so, you know, it's not a race. You know, we ain't ever going to get it all figured out, right? And so we'll just prod along, and there's something, a lot of things, and everywhere we read. So we're going to start with James, James chapter 1, verse 22. And, you know, so number one is this, to hear or to do. We talked about that a little last week. We're going to kind of get a little review and then jump back in here. So verse 22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So here's the thing, though. We must hear to do, right? We must first hear and learn what God wants from us. And so in other words, we're not wanting to try to just, let's just go do. And a lot of times what we can end up doing is we'll just do what we want to do. Or maybe what we like to do, or how we like to do it, and the fashion that it is comfortable to us, you know. And so when God begins to, and by the way, that's what we all do, by the way. We do what we want to do in this way. We kind of serve the way we want to. When I say we want, maybe what we like to do. And so, and then sometimes what God wants to do is He wants to bring something new, fresh, some growth to our life. And so in order to do that, God brings us through some things to try to, you know, you're not going to go through life, normal, everyday life, day after day after day, and then one day say, you know what, I think I'm going to do something different today. You know, you eat a bagel every morning. Some people, you know, I don't know, some of y'all eat the same thing for breakfast every day? Some of y'all do that? Yeah, some of you just, every day, you know, I was for many years, my wife would make me two eggs and a piece of toast, sometimes bacon, but two eggs. And, you know, and she'd say, you want something else? I'm like, no, this is good. She said, don't you get tired? I'm like, no, this is, I liked it. You know, remember those days? No. Anyway, okay. So, you know, and then I didn't wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'm going to go for a bagel today. You know, something, unless, you know, the last day there was too much grease on that egg, and I'm like, you know, I don't think I'm going to do. So sometimes, in order for us to go through life day after day, and God wants to grow us closer to Him. And so He brings something, and until something gets our attention, right, we're just going to keep doing what we've always done. And so God gets our attention through some of these things, and then He wants to get us our attention, get our attention so that we can hear what it is that He wants to get through to us. So we don't want to miss the first part of this epistle of James, because it's really what this whole book is about, at least this whole portion that we're dealing with here. This whole thing is about getting that God is working in our lives so that we might hear some. We've talked about that so much. I hate to just belabor that anymore, but my brother, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that we looked at these things. We're going to, listen, God is doing a work in our life so that we might hear Him. But we hear instruction, and we hear these things, so He instructs us on what to do next. Now, don't you wish sometimes it was like, you know, like actual instructions? Do this, and then do this, then do this. I wish God worked that way. I wish He worked, God, what's my assignment today? And He would just like, here it is. You know, just do this thing, and this thing, and this thing. I like rules. I like, you know, boundaries. I like, tell me exactly what that makes. It feels comfortable when you have that kind of thing and you know exactly what to do. But God, in our relationship with God, is not quite like that. So in a relationship, you know, if, you know, sometimes, you know, you have a friendship or a spouse and they'll say something, you know, and you come home and you say, hey, you know, I want to get you a gift. What do you want? They say, well, you think of something. Trouble. You know what I'm saying? Trouble. And then you're like, oh, I think I've got this really. And so you come up with something like, that's all you come up with? You know what I mean? And you kind of struggle a little bit because you know what in a relationship, you know what in a relationship wants to do? It's not about just tell me what to do and I'll do it and then that's the way I like it. Right? You tell me exactly what you want me to do and I'll do it and then we can have this and then, but the way the Lord says, I want you to get to know me. Get to know me a little bit and then demonstrate your love in the way that God has made each one of us. And so it's not just this list of like do this, this, and this. It's get to know Him. And sometimes we've got to go through some things that are tough. Trials, challenges. So God, we can get to know Him a little bit more. And then He said, now I'm going to give you. So I want you to see that. It'll bring something to us that we'll get to know Him and serve Him in that way. But we should hear, we're not just learning new material. Okay? This book isn't just a book of knowledge. I mean, certainly there is a lot of knowledge in it. But it's not meant to just be a book of knowledge, just for us to know stuff. What value is it to just know a bunch of things that we don't do anything with? And so it's not just a habit, it's to learn something, to do something. Knowledge by itself puffs us up, the Bible tells us. Knowledge puffeth up. You know, it's talking about there and 1 Corinthians is talking about that without love, you know, we just get puffed up and so there's no real value in just knowing a lot of things. So the Lord gives us instruction through His Word. Through His Word. Look at verse 25 now. He says, But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So, listen. So the process is this. We found through the beginning of James chapter 1, the process is a trial or temptation. And that brings patience by trusting God through that thing. Right? We trust God with what He's doing. And it's difficult. It's a trial. Right? He talks about it's also temptation. So then we trust Him and it develops patience. It worketh patience. And then patience has her perfect work of personal growth in our life. Right? So there's this process. This growth comes as a process of looking to God, hearing Him, and doing what He instructs us. It's really pretty simple, isn't it? It's really not a complicated and profound. It's interesting. The Bible talks about, and I think it was the Apostle Paul said at one place. He said, you have need for me to hear that, to say this again. You know, on a couple of occasions, he says it in that way, in that form. He said, you know, what we've talked about, you have need that I tell you again of these things. And you know, the problem isn't that the Bible is so complicated that we can't figure it out. It's not that the concept of what God's trying to tell, it's not that it's so difficult. It's what happens is we're the difficult ones. You know what I mean? We're the difficult ones, and God says, hey, here's what you have to do. And you're like, okay, that makes sense. And then we get in the middle of it. And so I want to take us to the next part. You're not what you seem to be. You're not. Look at verse 26 now with me. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So there can be this situation. He says this, if there's any among you. I imagine if he's asking, he says, if there's any among you, there was some among them. Right? In this kind of situation. So there can be this situation where we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Right? You see that? You think that could slip into our lives? Right? It's not so uncommon among us Christians. Nor was it too uncommon among those believers that we find here in the Bible. There appears to be a good deal of teaching on this very concept. Keep your place here, if you would, there in James. And turn over to 1 Corinthians. Turn back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. This thing that James is dealing with here is Paul dealt with it in other places, and the Lord has given it to us over and over on purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says this. It says, let no man, what's that word? Deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So there's again this action of deceiving ourselves. We looked at that and James it dealt with it, and James talking about this thing of we deceived ourselves. If we for hearers and not doers, we deceive ourselves. And so here it is again. There's this action of deceiving ourselves by seeming or supposing or thinking ourselves to be more than we are. If we think we're this thing, right? You know, he's dealing with this. He said, when we think ourselves really in this concept higher than we ought, we end up deceiving ourselves into thinking this. Well, God begins to show us something. God begins to deal with us on something. We can begin to have this concept that says, I already know how to get out of this one. Right? I already know how to deal with this one. And so we can deceive ourselves into thinking, really it starts with this. I'm already all right. Right? And so this situation probably really isn't for me. Right? And so we do, this is common. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 1. He says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. But if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah, if you think you know anything, you don't know nothing. Right? Sometimes the Bible's a little bit funny. You know, it kind of tells us, you know, the way that it deals with it. It's like, just when you think you got it all figured out, you don't know nothing. Listen, knowledge isn't as valuable as we'd like to pretend it is. I'm just saying to you this morning, it's not. Listen, it can be sometimes what causes us to think well of ourselves. I know a lot of stuff. You know, I've heard people say this stuff like, I've been studying this for a long time, and I'm thinking, yeah, and you're still wrong on it? You know what I mean? You know, and somebody, I've heard people say, there's a fellow who said, I've been studying this thing for 10 years or something like this. And I'm thinking, but you've missed the very basic premise of it. You didn't make yourself sound. It'd have been better if you said, I've just started studying it. You know what I mean? Sometimes we think because we know, by the way, it's not always when we're wrong. Sometimes when we're right. We've got a lot of this information. I've studied the Bible. I know what God wants. I've done this. And I've read through this. I've studied this. I've gone through this. And yet, we still don't practice it. We don't live it out. And so, having that knowledge can actually, at times, in this sense, when I think, see, and this is the concept, when I'm thinking about myself and I'm seeming. Now look over verse... I went and put the verses without putting the chapter. You need the chapter. Okay, I found it. Verse chapter 14. It's good to have the chapter to know what verse it is. Okay, chapter 14, verse 36. He says, what? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Listen again, think. The same word as seemeth in James. We can think too much of our own spirituality. Thinking, oh, this is me. I'm the one in this kind of what he's dealing with here. We must instead look to the Word of God, to what the Word of God is really desiring us to do. Right? We must look there rather than looking here. And I know that, doesn't that seem so simple? It's a simple, you think, well, that's obvious. You're like, preacher, you didn't really say anything really fantastic about this. And I think that's the case. It's really not anything that fantastic. It really comes down to this thing. God has already, He said, here's the way. Some things are hard. Amen? Some things are just hard. It's a simple concept. You know, you ever, like this one, you just need to trust the Lord. Well, yeah, I know I do, but it's hard, right? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? I know what to do, and you're like, just trust me. You're like, I'm trying. But, you know, sometimes we can know the truth, and we can know what we ought to do, but it's just hard to do that because the flesh, it's weak, and the flesh got an ugly head. He wants to stick up all the time. You know, and he just wants to have his way, and that he is me and you, right? And he wants to do that kind of thing and get in our way. So it's not that this is complicated. He said, but here's the problem. Here's the problem is this thing of, one more place. It kind of sums it all up. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians in chapter 6 and in verse 3. He says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he, what's that next word? Deceiveth himself. Listen, it's the same, it deals with it over and over. Thinking higher of ourselves than we ought is deceptive. It's actually self-deceiving. There's one thing to be deceived by others. Don't you hate that when you've been deceived? You know, you feel like something and there's something else. But here's what happens. There's something else that happens is often we're the ones deceiving ourselves by thinking higher of ourselves than we ought. Right? And we kind of get ourselves in a trap thinking, yeah, I know what the problem is here. And the fact is we don't know what the problem is. Because actually, often what we're going to want to do, you know, you with me on this, usually what the problem is somebody else, right? It's almost always somebody else. And because I can see, you know, this is why that we deal with the thing about the beam in the eye versus the mote in your neighbor's eye, right? I can see that mote from a mile away, but the beam in my own eye, the big issue in my own life, I can't see, but I could find everybody else's fault. You know what I'm saying? This is kind of, so this is such a normal human behavior, isn't it? We see everybody, and the Lord isn't saying this is some new, novel concept of how this works. He said, but listen, here's what happens. When we seem and we think too high of ourselves, we're going to miss what God's trying to do, and we're going to deceive ourselves. Listen, there's a topic that this epistle deals with that we find here again, and back in James chapter 1, verse 26. Look here, there's this topic that it begins dealing with through the book of James. It begins it here. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So there's a condition that identifies, watch here, there's a condition that identifies the believer who thinks too high of himself. Okay, here's what he's kind of given us this thing. This he thinks too high of himself or too high of his religiosity, right? His practice of his belief system. That's kind of what he's talking about here when he talks about religion. He's talking about your religion. He's talking about not in a negative way, but actually in a positive. What that word religion just means, our practice of what we believe. He said, so somebody that thinks too high of that, he said, there's kind of a tell. It's kind of a tell of somebody that is in that one that's among you that seems to be religious, but here's the thing, just because we talk about our beliefs doesn't mean we truly believe it. You see, so what I mean by that is just because we talk about trusting the Lord, doesn't mean we trust the Lord. I'm telling you, sometimes, and I've noticed this, I've watched this, I've seen, sometimes the people that will talk the most about how important the Bible is and how great God is, how wonderful God is and how we need God and how the Bible is. Man, we got the Bible. They've talked about it and they know things. We can do this. And then yet, not really live it out. So what we can actually do is we can actually, our religion becomes the idea of talking about our religion. Right? And I don't mean talking about it like sharing it. I mean talking about this guy. Right? Well, I believe that. I do. By the way, this is normal. This is, it's like, well, you think people, this in this culture today. No. This was a few years back this was written, right? It was happening then. Well, we don't do that today. Well, yeah, we do. Sure we do. We do the same thing that's going on. And so this can, so there's, listen, just because we talk about it doesn't mean we really believe it. So in other words, we can say much and do little that it commands of us. So this condition that the Scripture tells us about is the one that does not bridle the tongue. So, that's what he says here. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. So there's this. He seems to be religious. By the way, he thinks he's religious. And that's the meaning of that seems. Not just, oh, he looks religious. There's some of that in there too. But they seem to be spiritual. They seem to follow God, but they don't bridle their tongue. Typically, we put bridles on what? Animals, right? Horses primarily. Typically, we put bridles on animals so that we can do what? We can control them, right? That's the idea of a bridle. Is you put that in a horse that, you know, we're going to, later on, he's going to deal with this, but you put that bit in there, a little bit, and you can, you own it, right? That horse, that's, okay, you know, right? You know, that's the, you put a ring in a bull's nose, and that big old beast, you can tug on him. He's like, I, you know what I'm saying? It's amazing. But here the idea is not of putting the bridle on an animal, but putting a bridle on ourselves. Particularly that part of us that gets us in trouble. And the tongue is, that old tongue is a mess. It'll get us in trouble. It's, a little bit later, and I don't want to deal too much about this. We're going to talk about this because James really deals with this. But I just want to say here, it's set on fire of hell. That doesn't sound very sweet. We're talking about believers. Where he was dealing with here, the tongue could get us in trouble because you know what we want the tongue. You know what the tongue wants to do on its own? Just say stuff. You know we want to. We like to reveal a matter. We like to deal with it. Listen. Here's what he's saying. Here's an indicator. When there's some among you, as he says here, that seems to be religious, seems to be, but they don't bridle their tongue. You know, here's the thing. It's actually the indicator that they're not as religious as they think they are. But I mean, I'm not saying this. The book says it, right? And so it's, you know, so who is this for? So we can look around and say, I wonder who's loose-lipped and, you know, slippery-tongued, you know. No. You know who it's for? For this guy. When you say, you know what, when I realize my tongue is not bridled, in other words, meaning that I don't have control. And really, when I have control means that I've given the Lord control. When I don't do that, you know what? It should be an indicator to me. To me. By the way, the Bible isn't written for me to judge everybody else. It's not written so I know all this knowledge so I can figure out who's right and who's not as right. It's really for this guy. There's some places that we're to mark those and so forth like that. But primarily, it's about this guy. It's about the one that God is trying to speak to me. He's not speaking to me so I can straighten out you, right? So I can figure out everybody else. He says, really this, listen, here's the indicator. When you cannot and you've not given God control and there's no bridle on your own tongue, so how do you realize that? Well, when it goes loose. And then you realize, wow, not what I've seen. So we're going to deal with this more. I've already spent more time than I want. James is going to deal with it a lot more later, so we'll get to that. So we'll move on from that and not belabor it now. But there's another word here that describes what the tongue does there in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but instead of bridling his tongue, what he does is, but deceiveth his own heart. See, your tongue, and my tongue, is what is in on the game of tricking you. I'm fine. I'm right. I'm good. Right? Isn't that what we tell ourselves? Right? This is how this goes. And the tongue is in on the game. Listen, that's what deceiving yourself really is. It's speaking of this thing of it's tricking or fooling yourself into believing yourself. You ever talk to yourself? Yeah, we all do that. You ever answer yourself? Yeah, we do that. What do you think about? Yeah, no. And so we start this. So sometimes it's not literally our tongue. It's just our own conversation with ourselves. And you're saying, I didn't do that. Yeah, you're right. No, I'm right. Yeah, I'm right. And you ever got that? You've kind of convinced yourself that you're right, and it's just you and you and you. You win. Isn't that good? This is what he's talking about here, this tongue, and we deceive ourselves, and it deceives our heart, right? And now he deals with the heart where it's coming up. It's kind of strange, but it's what we do. So I get an idea that I like, right? I get an idea that I like. And I talk myself up about it. You ever do this? Before you talk to somebody else, you're going to kind of talk yourself up about it. You're kind of getting in this circle of a little bit of deceiving yourself and getting my own. And you know, I'm communing with myself, right? And then here's what I do next. Here's the next process with that. Then I talk to people that I know. Listen to what I'm going to say here. I talk to people that I know will not disagree with me. Now, I didn't say people that will agree with me. I don't need that. I just need people that won't disagree with me. You see? Here's the thing. I'm going to look out. I'm thinking, if I tell her, she's going to say, you just need to suck it up, buttercup, and something like that. And I'm thinking, if I tell him, he's going to tell me, he's going to talk about God and the Bible. And if I talk to that one over there, they won't. They'll just say, yeah, you're right. So that's what you know what I'm saying? They don't even have to agree with me. They have to just not disagree with me. They have to just kind of go along and you know, we pick up. We know. You know what I'm saying? You know who you want to talk to when you want to be agreed with, and who you want to talk to when you want really counsel from God and direction from God. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. Doesn't just mean that's what I always think. It's great when teenage kids ask other teenage kids. Well, my friend said, really? Really? That's your going. Now, Mom, I didn't talk to you because my friend said, so you're, but, you know, this is kind of what we do as kids. We do it as adults too. We do this thing. We like to find the people that will approve our thinking without resistance. It's kind of just so common among, listen, one way to avoid self-deception is to speak to people that you know would disagree with you. You say, well, that doesn't sound like fun. That sounds contentious. Listen, I'm not talking about negative people. Negative people just like to be negative because negative is what they do. Okay? I would say that I avoid negative people. I just don't want to, you know, everything. I've known people like that. You go talk, everything that you say, they're not, I'm just trying to be a devil's advocate. Well, why don't you be the Lord's advocate? You know, forget this devil's advocate. I mean, you know, I understand there's some things we want to flesh out, some things like that. But when somebody's always negative, that's not who I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about that. I mean, the one that will say what God thinks, even if it disagrees with you. Do you want to be deceived? I mean, do you want to say, you know what? I think I want to be deceived today. I think I'd like to believe something about myself that's not really there. He just dealt with that by looking in the mirror, right? He said, you look in the mirror, you see that, and you dwell there, and then you walk away and you forget about it. You know, that's really what it's talking about. I say, you know what, I'm pretty good with just pretending like I'm pretty good. No, listen, but we don't want to be deceived on purpose. Listen, then why would we go down a road of self-deception willingly? I'll tell you why. Because I seem to be religious to myself. I think too highly of myself to allow the truth to make me free of deception. And this is, again, I said at the beginning, this is not a complicated passage here. This is not so complicated. Wow, this is a tricky deal. No, he just says, listen, God is trying to do something in your life. And if you let Him, God will work something in your life that's going to be wonderful. He said, well, it doesn't feel wonderful. I know it is a trial, it's a temptation. He's going to work patience, and he's going to have perfect work, and God's going to do something great in your life. But the problem is, we get there, and God's trying to do something, and we say, you know, I'm already good. We find what God's trying to do in your life, and you find yourself literally in the same place week after week, month after month, and year after year. I don't mean the same house. I mean the same spiritual relationship with God. Same. And then you hear other people, you see other people doing something for the Lord, and you're like, oh, man, I don't know what's wrong. I'm super spiritual, and that doesn't happen for me. We don't say those words, but you understand what I'm saying. When our heart is deceived by us deceiving it. Look at verse 26 again. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is, what's that word? Vain. Our religion becomes vain. Meaning, our belief system. What we say we believe about God. Listen, if I only hear and receive knowledge, but don't let it change me, my belief system is vain. Means this, it's empty. It's pointless. Listen, you want to know why you don't reach people for Christ? You want to know why we don't share the gospel like we should? Listen, you want to know why folks don't respond to our invitation? Well, maybe it's right here. Our religion is vain. Verse 27, he says this, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Listen, here is what our religion, rather what the faith that we receive from God, here's what it should look like. This is a really shocking indication of our religion. So this is an indicator of pure religion. Is this first? It's not what we say to others. Wait now, catch that. It's not what we say to others. He didn't say it's what we say to others. It's not what we say to other people. It's not even that we're spreading truth. That's not the indicator of our faith in Christ, of our religion. The indicator of our faith or pure religion is this, is how we treat others. There's a distinction here that is made in this verse, and he says this, to do what? To visit. The word he says there. This is not to be religion by proxy. Well, I sent somebody. Right? I sent somebody else. Right? Called the, you know, the pastor should go do that. Right? I told him to go visit them. Right? Or, you know, somebody else is going to go do it. Listen, it's not religion by proxy, right? It's not to care corporately. Well, as a church, we do this, right? It's to be personally. Look, we're not just to be solid in truth. We're not to be solid in truth, but weak in care. I know stuff, bless God, and I'm right and they're wrong. And listen, that's not the indicator of pure religion here. It's been said this way. You've heard this before. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. You say, well, that's just a little saying. Well, I think it's meted out in the Scripture. I think we see that through the Scripture. This is what the Epistle of James is speaking of here. Pure, undefiled religion is to visit those in need. Not just as visitation. Well, I knocked on their door and shared the gospel. No, but visit them as you go to them. Listen, it means this. It means to touch them, to reach them. How can we reach a world that we never touch? Right? The second part is really attached to the first, and he says there that to visit the fathers and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We are to be unspotted from this world. The world's attitudes, its ways, its character, its culture, all these things, none of it should mark me. Here's what he's talking about. Listen, I'm gonna live it out. I'm gonna go and touch these people, go to the, but they shouldn't be wiping off on me. Right? Listen, if I'm gonna live out what the Lord has shown me, if my religion is gonna be pure and undefiled, I cannot be what the world is. There's a distinction. We're to be a peculiar people, we've got to be different. Listen, not a chasing of a career, not a chasing of money, not a chasing of its fame, not a chasing of its friendship. Listen, it is an active decision to go to those of the world, yet to keep it from marking me. I'm not going to finish. It happens a lot of times. So we'll finish next week, and get back. Listen, let's not look at this as a very complicated process. What God wants to do to grow us, He's bringing something to our lives, bringing something to us, and He wants to get our attention. Sometimes it's laying in the bed of sickness. Sometimes it's other ways, pain, relationships. But He wants to get our attention to give us something to do.